Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good to see everyone tonight. Appreciate your presence here so that we can study God's Word together. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, you can be turning over to the book of Philippians. We'll be in Philippians chapter 1 here in just a few moments. You know, as you look at the New Testament, a large portion of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. 13, possibly 14 books. The possible 14th, of course, is the book of Hebrews. It is the author there is not named, but there are some who believe that Paul penned that letter as well. And as you look at these letters, sometimes we refer to them as epistles. As I was writing the sermon and wrote that down, it reminded me of a little joke about a woman who was teaching a child's class. And she was talking to them about the Bible and the different sections of the Bible. And she said, and there's a section of the epistles. You know what an epistle is, don't you? And immediately, some of you are already smiling. You know this one. Immediately, one of the little boys shot his hand up and he said, that's an apostle's wife. Well, the epistles are not the apostles' wives, but the epistles are letters that were written by different individuals. And we have the Pauline epistles. We also have a section called the general epistles, which were written by others. But as we look at the Pauline epistles, there's another subset under that category. And that is the prison epistles. The books of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon were believed to have been written while Paul was under house arrest in Rome. And as we look at the book of Philippians, and in chapter 1 and a little bit into chapter 2 that we'll notice tonight, we see a lot of things that Paul, although constrained by where he was still very active in spreading the gospel. He was still very active in upholding the things that God would have him to do. Paul could have very easily used, well, I'm under house arrest, there's really not a whole lot I can do. He could have used that as an excuse, but as we see, he didn't. And as we look at Paul and all that he accomplished that we'll notice while under house arrest, the question has to be asked to ourselves, to myself, to yourself, what's our excuse? If Paul could do all of these things while they're under house arrest, what's keeping us from accomplishing the mission that God has set for us? As we think about this topic of excuses, Christian Friedrich Hebbel, he was a German poet and dramatist. He said, whoever wants to be judge of human nature should study people's excuses. Benjamin Franklin said, he that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else. George Washington Carver said, 99% of the failures come from people who have the habit of making excuses. Jesus talked about the folly of making excuses. In the parable of the Great Supper in Luke chapter 14 and verses 15 through 24, you might recall that he talks about these individuals that were invited to this supper. And immediately some began making excuses for why they could not attend. One man said, I've bought a piece of ground and I must go see it. Another said, well, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and must go test them. Another said, I've married a wife and can't come. I heard one preacher say, of all the excuses, that one was probably the most valid. But you think about these other statements here. I bought a piece of ground and I must go see it. How many people buy a piece of ground without seeing it first? I bought 5 yoke of oxen, I must go test them. Why would an individual buy oxen without first testing them? I married a wife and can't come. Why can't the wife go with him? In verse 24, Jesus says of all these individuals that made excuses, he said, none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. And yet we all still tend to make excuses. We all still tend to, oh, I've got this going on or that going on. I don't know enough. I'm not good at that. Paul didn't allow prison to keep him from doing what he was called to do. As we look at this tonight, there are 5 things that prison could not keep Paul from. Number 1, prison could not keep Paul from his pen. Prison could not keep Paul from his pen. In Philippians chapter 1, in verses 1 through 8, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. As you read through the book of Philippians, it becomes very evident that this was a congregation that was close to the Apostle Paul's heart. This is a group of people who, as he says here, had partnered with him from the very beginning. They had obviously helped him financially and with other resources as he went about on these missionary journeys. He says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. Here Paul is, and even states it here, that he's imprisoned. Now we understand that he's waiting to be heard by Caesar. If you go to the book of Acts and you read through the book of Acts, there comes a point where charges are brought against Paul, and Paul makes the statement, I appeal to Caesar. Paul was a Roman citizen. He was born in the city of Tarsus. And so therefore, as a Roman citizen, he had a right to have his case heard before Caesar. And he exercised that right. And so here, this is where he finds himself now in Rome, awaiting to stand before Caesar concerning the charges brought against him. But while he's there, he's still very active. He's writing here to the church at Philippi to encourage them. He didn't want the fact that he had been in prison to discourage them. We see that later on in the letter. And so he wants them to know, hey, everything's fine. In fact, later on, we see that he has even converted some of Caesar's own household. And so Paul is still very active in writing to the congregations and people that needed his encouragement. And now you might say, well, Justin, I'm not writing a New Testament book. I'm not, Brother Taylor, I'm not authoring books of religious nature. No, but we all still have a pen. We can send cards. We can write notes of encouragement. We can use a digital version of that. We can send text messages, Facebook messages. We can encourage with our words. Paul did not allow his situation to keep him. Prison couldn't keep Paul from it. So it raises the question, what's our excuse? Number two, prison could not keep Paul from his prayers. Prison could not keep Paul from his prayers. Continuing in chapter 1 in verses 9 through 11. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may be approved, that you may prove what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. In this part, in verses 9 through 11, in the passage we already read, we see a constant reference to this idea of prayer. That Paul was praying for them, that he had them in his prayers. Just because of the situation in which Paul found himself, it couldn't keep him from praying to God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, as Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, he says, pray without ceasing. The idea there is that as Christians, we should have a constant attitude of prayer. Y'all, when something good happens, we should make it our common reaction to stop right then and thank God. When something bad happens, it should be our common reaction to stop and talk to God about it. God's always there. He wants to hear from us. He wants to know what's on our hearts. As Christians, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, prayer should be something that we are always doing. I realize that prayer isn't something that always comes easy. It's a habit that we have to form. And like any good habit, sometimes that's difficult. But it's so needed. It's so important. We need to be a people of prayer. Prison could not keep Paul from his prayers. And number three, it couldn't keep Paul from his purpose. Paul's purpose was to spread the gospel. And when you get right down to it, brethren, that's our number one purpose as the Lord's church. Are there other things that we do? Absolutely. But first and foremost, we were saved to save. As Christians, we are to be like our Savior. And Jesus told us Himself, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We've been given a wonderful gift of the gospel. But brethren, we can't hold that gift to ourselves. We have to give it to others. That's our purpose. That was Paul's purpose. In verses 12 through 18, he said, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Remember, he's worried that, in a sense, that they're going to become discouraged. Here's Paul and all the good he's done, and now here he is in Rome under house arrest. And he can't do anything, and he says, now wait a minute. What's happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. So that it's become known throughout the whole imperial guard. Who are these individuals? These weren't just rank and file soldiers out in the army. This is the imperial guard. These are the guards in the palace. These are the ones that protect Caesar himself. He says, this has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. They've learned the reason that I'm here is because of the one that I serve. You don't think that didn't raise some questions? That didn't lead to some conversations? And most of the brothers, he says, have become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment. And much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. He says there are individuals who are preaching the word for the right motives. There are others who are preaching the word for the wrong motives. But he says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth. He says, whatever the motive is, Christ is proclaimed. And in that I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. Paul says, even here, I'm still about my purpose. Even with the restrictions placed upon me, I'm still preaching and teaching. I mean, you think about Paul and here's an individual that, we've said this before, what do you do with Paul? I mean, if you kill him, you just send him on to his reward. And he's like, I'm good with that. If you leave him be, well, he's just going to keep preaching and teaching everywhere he goes. If you chain him to a guard like they did in Philippi, well, he ends up converting the jailer. You put him in house arrest in Rome and he converts people in Caesar's own household. What do you do with this guy? And brethren, we need to be the same way. I have no doubt that Satan, when he looked at Paul, he threw his hands up in disgust and said, I don't know what to do. And may we all live a life in which Satan throws his hands up in disgust and says, I don't know what to do with him. Prison could not keep Paul from his purpose. Friends, what's our excuse? Number four, prison could not keep Paul from his positivity. Notice verses 19 through 26 with me. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul says, whichever happens, Christ is going to receive the honor. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. Paul says, these two options put before me, it's kind of hard, he says, for me to decide. On one hand, I understand that if I continue to live, then that's opportunities for me to encourage individuals and to change individuals' hearts and to continue to preach the gospel. And he says, and I want to do that. But on the other hand, he says, I could leave this world and all the difficulties and problems and struggles that I have, and I could go home. And he says, I'm hard pressed between the two. Those are two options that I can't choose between. He says, my desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. And he says, that would be a whole lot better for me. But to remain in the flesh, he says, is more necessary on your account. He says, there's still work that I need to do. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Paul's under house arrest. Paul has death looming before him, possibly. If Caesar hears his case and finds him guilty, y'all, he's going to be put to death. And Paul says, nah, it's all good. His positive attitude is because of the life that he was living. Because he knew no matter what, he was going to be fine. No matter what was thrown his direction, no matter what he had to deal with, he had Christ on his side. That's why he could remain positive. It doesn't mean that there wasn't difficulties that he was having to deal with. It doesn't mean there weren't problems that he faced. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and just sit down and read for a little while of all that Paul went through. Because Paul gives you a laundry list right there in that chapter of everything that he was facing. Yet in the same book he would say, but this light persecution that's only for a moment. And he tells us how he could do that. He looked past the temporary to the eternal. And that's what we see him doing here in this passage. In verses 19 through 26, he's looking past the temporary to the eternal. You want to keep a positive attitude? Live a life where you have heaven as your home. Even in prison, Paul could remain positive. Fifth and finally, prison could not keep Paul from his preaching. Prison could not keep Paul from his preaching. Continuing in chapter 1, beginning in verse 27, he said, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. You know, there are statements within the Bible sometimes, very short, simple statements, but when you read them and really think about it, there's a lot there. And this is one of those statements. Only let your manner of life, only let the conduct of your life, the way that you're living, let it be worthy of the gospel of Christ. What's the gospel? Well, the definition given in 1 Corinthians 15 is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so Paul says, let your manner of life, the life that you're living, be worthy of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's a lot. But we can live that kind of life. And I know we can because Paul said right here for us to do that. And God's not going to tell us to do something that we're not capable of doing. Paul lived a life that was worthy of that sacrifice. And friends, we can live a life that is worthy of that sacrifice. Paul continues on, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. Y'all, he's preaching at this point. He's telling you, hey, whether I come and see you personally or just hear word, I want to hear that you're faithful, that you're working side by side, that you're continuing to advance the cause of Christ. He says, for it's written and granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. There's a lot right there that we can unpack. That's not the purpose of this sermon. But it is to see that even in prison, Paul is still preaching. And you might say, well, that's great, but I'm not a preacher. I beg to differ. Oh, you might not stand up here behind a pulpit and deliver a sermon to a congregation, but each and every one of us is to be preachers and teachers. We have those who we come in contact with that need to hear the gospel. You have individuals within your sphere of influence that only you can reach with that message. And friends, they need to hear it. We need to be individuals who, no matter what, no matter what situation we find ourselves, no matter what difficulties we're facing, we're still about our purpose. We're still preaching and teaching the gospel. Y'all, prison could not keep Paul from his pen, from his prayers, from his purpose, from his positive attitude, from his preaching. But the question as we close is, how could Paul do that? How could he, in this difficult situation in which he finds himself, how could he have such an attitude and an outlook? How could he still be so effective? I want you to notice a word frequency from this chapter. Jesus occurs 8 times in the text that we just read. Christ by itself, not in connection with Jesus, just Christ by itself, found 11 times. The word Lord by itself found once. He, him, and his in reference to Christ, 1 time each. That's a total of 22 times that Jesus is mentioned. You want to know how Paul could do all these things despite the situation that he was in? Jesus. That's how. That's where he placed his trust. That's where he placed his faith. He said it so very clearly in verse 21 that we already read, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Brethren, what's our excuse? I think you mowed gray with me. We don't have one. So let's be about our purpose. Let's be striving to reach out to the world around us with the beautiful message of the gospel of Christ. Maybe it's a message that you need this evening. That Christ came to this earth, that he lived a sinless life, that he died on the cross for you, and that he asked for you to come to him. To believe in him as the Son of God, to turn away from sin, to confess that belief, and to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. I realize looking at many of you have done that. Maybe you realize tonight, you know what, I haven't been living as I should. I've been making a lot of excuses and I don't have any. Maybe it's time to come home. Christ stands waiting for you. Ready for you. Friend, will you come? Right now, as together we stand and sing.